That is an amazing picture, isn't it? We're thinking about life today, and to see just in a couple of minutes, you know, that plant grow from a single seed into this beautiful flower, then full of seeds, you begin to get just an idea of the incredible nature of life and growth. If you haven't really stopped to think about it, God loves life. Right back from the beginning of creation, where he made the world, he then filled it with living things, all manner of things. The world is stuffed full of life. For every human on earth, for every person in this room, there are probably 10 or 20 birds out there in the world. There's probably 20 mammals. There are hundreds of trees for every one of you. There are many hundreds of fish in the sea for every person on earth. For every one of us here, there are probably over 1 billion insects in the world. Now, that might be a bit of a creepy thought, but it just gives you an idea of the massiveness of life on earth. The huge input that God has given to make living things. He obviously loves life. And we think about life all the time. We particularly think about it in the context of Easter. Now, whenever you think about life, the natural tendency then is to think about the contrast, because life and death go hand in hand. You don't seem to have one without the other. Well, you wouldn't really. Now, on Friday, Jono talked about that great contrast of love and hate, and how both were at work quite powerfully in the events leading up to Jesus' trial and crucifixion. They were both at work, but the power of God's love triumphed. Today we're talking about another great contrast between life and death. And they both are powerful forces. It's been said that there are two things in life that you cannot avoid, you cannot get past, and that is death and taxes. I'm fairly sure that if you are rich enough, you can get out of paying tax. It seems the richer you are, the easier it is. You can afford the good lawyers, the good accountants, the offshore bank accounts and whatever. But I don't know anyone who has yet found enough money to cheat death. You might want to put yourself in cryo sleep or something, but no evidence as yet that that is going to save you from death. So that is one of the great inevitabilities of life. And the way we would usually characterize that is that death is there because of life. It's because things become alive, and because that life is temporary, no one lives forever, no one is immortal, life will come to an end. So therefore, you start with life, you end with death. Death is the consequence. But Jesus says it differently to this. He looks at this the other way round. From the reading we had in John chapter 12, he says, "Truly I say to you," this is important stuff, "when a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed." Now, we know what a seed is, and we've just seen it graphically, how it works. A seed contains all of the life that you need. A seed has all the genetic material and all the nutrients to start new life. It may have this shell around it. The seed itself doesn't necessarily look very interesting. A wheat seed that we're talking about, a tiny little thing, a few millimeters long. Nothing very exciting, nothing very attractive. Doesn't look much different than a pebble. And yet inside that seed contains the beginnings of something new, something that could come to life. Now the seed could decide that it's happy being a seed and just stay as a seed. It would still be alive. And it could last quite a long time. They've found grain seeds in tombs, in the pyramids, I think, that have lasted for thousands of years. And some of them they've even taken and been able to grow. But that seed could last a long time, kept in the right conditions, in the cold, in the dark, would only still ever be a seed, would never become what it was meant to be. Jesus is talking about himself here, that he is a seed. And he has a life like ours. He came and took on just an ordinary body like ours. And he had a life to live. He could have lived the same length of time that we lived, that we might expect. But Jesus didn't come just to be one life. He came to be more than that. And he knew what a seed had to do to become more than that. See, the passage says, if it doesn't die, it remains just a single seed. Some versions of the Bible say it remains alone, it abides alone. And Jesus doesn't want to be alone. Jesus has everything in the universe to offer. He has all the riches of creation. He was there right at the beginning. He has all of that he can make available. He has an infinite amount of time to spend and to share. He has an unlimited amount of love to give. That's his very nature. He has all of this. He doesn't want to be alone. He doesn't want to just save all of that for himself. He wants to share all of that with his creation, with his people. Jesus doesn't want to be alone. He doesn't want to just keep his life. He wants to give his life for others, for us. So he knows what he has to do. If that seed dies, it produces many seeds. A wheat plant might typically produce 100-fold from the seed that was produced, that was planted. Every seed then makes more of itself. And it's when that seed that is planted that it begins to become what it was meant to be. The shoots will start to go out. The roots will appear. The seed will grow. That seed dies to itself. It'll no longer be or look like what it was. It won't be this nice, neat, shiny little thing, perhaps, that it started at. It will die. It will replace itself with something else. It will become the life of a new plant. and that plant goes on to then bear fruit, to create many seeds, to produce, to reproduce itself. So Jesus knows that that's what he needs to do to bring about life. He knows that he must sacrifice his life as it is so that he can bring new life to others. He goes on to say, if anyone loves their life, anyone who loves their life will lose it. Anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So Jesus didn't want to protect his own life. He knew that his death was the whole purpose of his life. That is what he came for. He didn't come just to live. He came to die. He came to bring a life to others by sacrificing his own. He knew that the pathway to life for us was death for him. And so while he could have come and lived his 70 years or whatever it might have been, that was not his purpose. His purpose right from the beginning, before he came, was to die, was to sacrifice. And he's talking not just about himself, but more than that. Because this principle goes on to others that follow. If all you want is this life, you can have that, but that's all it will be. But Jesus is talking about not just this life, but life to come, life forever, life with him in his home. He says, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. Jesus is very definitely talking about us now. He's talking about those who will follow him, those who will inherit, who will obtain this life that he's offering. He's saying that this is going to be a full life. It's an abundant life. It's a life that has all of the meaning that anyone ever needs. It's a life in him. He gives it. And it's a life that will no longer be just terminated after a few decades on this earth. And the way that we experience that life is, in one sense, the same way that Jesus did. Again, through death. See, Jesus is saying that while death was the purpose of his life, the reason for him coming, it's the pattern for ours. See, I have a problem in my life. The problem is that there's too much of me in it. See, I'm a flawed person. I make bad decisions. I have moral failure. I do stupid things. I disappoint people. I make poor choices. There is sin in my life. The problem with my life is that there's too much of me and not enough of Jesus. The problem with my life is that I have received Jesus and got something new, but there's still too much of what was before, still here. For me to be the person God wants me to be, there needs to be a whole lot less of me and a whole lot more of Jesus. Because he's the one that will make my life what it should be, what it was designed to be, what it was meant to be. God has a perfect plan for our lives. He knows what a perfect life should look like. And Jesus can bring it about. See, when we have Jesus in our lives, he is not just an extra. He's not an addition. He's not a bit of flavoring that you add to your drink to make it taste better. Jesus is not just an extra in our lives. He's a replacement. He wants to take away what was there before, the old life that we had, the natural life, the one that will decay, the one that is flawed. And he wants to replace it with a perfect life, his life. And then we will be everything that we aspire to be, everything that God wants us to be, the very perfect people that he has built us to be. So that's my answer, my solution to the problems of life, is that there be less of mine in it and more of Jesus. When some people came to Jesus, he said to them, "The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me." The one who looks at us should be seeing the one who lives in us, Jesus. Now, this story that Jesus is telling here, this illustration, starts with a bunch of Greeks who come to Jesus. This is the last few days of his life. And they come and they say, "We want to see Jesus." And this passage is the story that Jesus tells in response to that. It's one of Jesus' kind of oblique answers that he seems to be pretty good at. Doesn't seem to answer the question directly. They want to see Jesus, but he is saying, "Well, if you want to see me, this is what I look like. I'm a seed. I'm going to die. I'm going to give life to everybody who wants it. They are also going to die as they take on my life." That's what it really is to see Jesus. It's to know him. It's to experience him. It's to have him be our life. And what happens when Jesus is that life? He says, "My Father will honor the one who serves me." How incredible is that? That our Father in heaven, the Master, the Creator of all of the universe, the Maker of everything, would honor us. Well, the Father honors Jesus for who he is. And if our life is Jesus' life, if Jesus completely permeates us, replaces us, our old nature, then the Father will honor that too. He will honor anything that looks like Jesus. That is an incredible thing to think about. How great is God's love for us, that he would give us this wonderful gift, that he would give us this incredible honor. We want to celebrate that here this morning. We want to think about this life that Jesus gives. And it's described so well in Galatians. Paul says, "I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. No longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me." We're going to sing to celebrate this new life that we have in Christ. As we remember it this Easter morning, we think about Jesus coming alive again, being resurrected. Then think about our opportunity we have also to be resurrected with him. For those who are online, we will finish with this song. And then for those who are here in the room, we will celebrate the communion together after this song.